Welcome to the Psychology of Achievement. For many years, people have been asking the question, why are some people more successful than others? Thousands of studies have been conducted, tens of thousands of hours have been spent, and millions of dollars have been invested seeking the answers. Many leading thinkers, writers, and researchers have spent their entire lives investigating this one question. Why are some people more successful than others? Why is it that some people make more money, have more friends, enjoy better health, and derive greater satisfaction from life than others do? The purpose of this course, The Psychology of Achievement, is to answer that question by bringing together the very best knowledge available in one complete package, which you can then use to unlock your personal potential to achieve anything you really want in life. Thousands of men and women have already participated in this seminar and are now using these ideas, methods, and techniques to bring about dramatic improvements in their lives. Graduates from this course have gone on to develop new high levels of self-confidence and personal power. They have doubled and tripled their incomes, started new businesses, and vastly improved the operation of existing businesses. They've changed their personalities to become more patient, kind, and loving human beings, and have transformed their personal relationships, especially with their spouses, their children, and other loved ones. They've used these methods to lose weight, quit smoking, and to enjoy greatly improved levels of health and energy, and physical and mental well-being. In fact, the material taught in this seminar is so powerful, so practical, and so usable that many graduates have said that it's like getting a brand new chance at life or receiving a blank check on the future. The material contained in this cassette program is based on exhaustive research, my own 20 years and many more years on the part of other experts in the development of human potential. All high-achieving men and women practice these methods and techniques, whether or not they are consciously aware of it. Anyone can achieve at higher levels than they ever dreamed possible if they will take these ideas and run with them. In fact, we have recently reached the conclusion that there is no real limit on what you can achieve with your life if you will make the success system taught in this cassette program an integral part of your day-to-day activities. Your future will be unlimited when you begin to practice the psychology of achievement. We have often called this a success seminar. So let's start off by defining what we mean by success. There are basically six requirements for success. Everything you could ever want can be subsumed under these six categories. The first of the six requirements is peace of mind. All the great religions and metaphysical philosophies and works in psychology are aimed at giving and showing people how to achieve far higher levels of peace in mind, because we intuitively recognize that without peace of mind, nothing else has very much flavor. By peace of mind, we mean simply freedom from fear, freedom from anger, and freedom from guilt, perhaps the three major psychological problems of the 20th century. Peace of mind that passeth all understanding, the feeling that going to sleep at night completely at peace and at harmony with ourselves and waking up in the morning with the same state of mind. The second requirement for success is high levels of health and energy. We know that no matter what we have in life, if we do not have our health or if we do not have the energy to enjoy our lives, we don't get very much satisfaction out of it. And as soon as we achieve any kind of peace of mind, we immediately turn to achieving higher levels of health and physical energy. The third requirement for success is loving relationships, the ability to enter into and maintain long-term, intimate, mature relationships with other people. And we know in our studies of healthy human beings that loving relationships are really the hallmark of the self-actualizing, fully functioning personality. As soon as we've achieved a certain level of peace of mind and a certain amount of health and energy, our thoughts immediately turn to our relationships with other people. The fourth requirement for success is what we call financial freedom. And financial freedom means that we have enough money so that we don't worry about money. For one person, this can be $10,000 a year. For another person, $100,000 a year wouldn't be enough. But it's absolutely essential that we achieve the point of financial freedom where we are not preoccupied with where our next rent check is going to come from, or where our next paycheck, or where the money to pay our bills is going to come from, because we cannot enjoy life if we're preoccupied with money. The fifth ingredient for success is worthy goals and ideals. As human beings, we are not capable of functioning at our best unless we have clear goals to which we are committed and worthy ideals which we believe in. And many writers have said that man's need for meaning and purpose is the greatest single drive in human nature, and I think that that's very, very true. And we'll talk later on in this course about how we establish worthy goals and how we move toward them on a step-to-step basis. And finally, the sixth ingredient of success is a feeling of personal fulfillment, or what Abraham Maslow called self-actualization, the feeling that we are becoming everything that we are capable of becoming as human beings, that we are fulfilling our full potential as we move along. And this feeling of personal fulfillment, this sense of self-actualization, is the hallmark of the truly mature, fully functioning human being. Now, we all measure our success relative to our ability to enjoy more of these six ingredients of a well-rounded life. And again, we come back to our question, why is it that so few people can be described as successful? We live in the richest, most abundant society in all of human history. We have living standards and opportunities undreamed of just a few years ago. And still, the vast majority of men and women, as Thoreau said, lead lives of quiet desperation. They're unhappy with their work, they're unhappy with their families, they're unhappy with their health, they're overweight, they smoke too much or drink too much or worry about their bills all the time. Less than 5% achieve any real lasting success in life. At least 80% of all people reaching retirement age in our society today end up flat, broke, penniless, dependent upon others for survival. Only 5% or less achieve financial independence in their lifetimes, in spite of 40 years or more of well-paid work and limitless opportunity to learn and grow and improve themselves. One of the reasons for this lack of success, I think, is that we come into the world with no instruction manual. We are born as the most advanced and complex organism in our universe, but we have no directions for getting the very most out of ourselves as a human machine. It would be exactly the same as if we went to the store and bought a personal computer and took it home and set it up and found that we had no instruction manual, no operating instructions to tell us how to use the machine to get the very most out of it. As human beings, we're exactly the same. We come into the world with no instruction manual, and we spend the majority of our lives, the vast part of our lives, trying to figure out how to get the very best out of ourselves. And it takes about 30 or 40 or 50 years to do it, and then, as the old German expression says, too soon old, too late smart. We finally figure out how to do it, and we're in our 50s and in our 60s. One of the purposes of this course is to serve as an instruction manual for getting maximum performance out of ourselves. Now, in operating a machine, or in operating ourselves, the very first thing that is necessary is we have to understand how to operate ourselves as a human machine. Understanding of the basic underlying principles, laws, and concepts of our being is absolutely essential. And the second part is effort. Once we understand how we work, we have to make efforts so that we can apply what we have learned to achieving far higher levels of accomplishment and attainment in our day-to-day life. Most people, unfortunately, lack the understanding, and if they do have any understanding at all, they're not willing to make the necessary efforts. As a result of this tape program, you will find that it is much easier to make those efforts on a consistent basis than not. So let's begin by discussing the basic rules or laws for operating the human machine, for getting the very best out of ourselves. I'd like to begin by introducing some basic principles or laws that we'll be coming back to over and over again as we go along. First of all is the law of control. The law of control is an essential law in understanding how we function, and many psychologists, if not most psychologists today, have come to the conclusion that the degree of control that we feel we have is in direct proportion to the amount of mental health that we have. The law of control simply says that we feel good about ourselves to the exact degree to which we feel we are in control of our own lives, and that we feel bad about ourselves or we feel out of harmony with ourselves to the exact degree to which we feel we are controlled by outer circumstances, by other people, by things beyond our control, if you like. Psychologists call this the difference between an internal locus of control, a feeling that we're behind the steering wheel of our own lives, and an external locus of control, a feeling that somebody else is controlling our lives and taking us where they want us to go. Control begins, first of all, with our thoughts, what we think, and that controls our feelings, what we feel, and leads to how we perform or our actions. But all control begins with taking control of the thoughts we hold in our conscious mind. The second principle or law is a metaphysical concept called the law of accident. The law of accident says, in effect, that there is no way that we can control what happens to us, that everything just happens by accident, that it's not what you know, it's who you know, it's the way the cookie crumbles, it's being in the right place at the right time. Unfortunately, whether they realize it or not, the vast majority of men and women live their lives by the law of accident. By failing to plan, they're planning to fail. They have no goals beyond the short term. They make no plans, they don't really feel that they're in control of their own destiny, and they just hope that somehow things will work out all right for them. One of the major reasons we have so much negativity and disharmony and unhappiness and misery and skepticism in our society is that most people feel like bump cars in a carnival, that they go off in one direction or another depending upon the next incident that happens to them. And of course, people who live by the law of accident can have no sense of control or mental well-being. Opposed to the law of accident is what we call the law of cause and effect. Now, the law of cause and effect is really the basic law of the universe. It's the law of the cosmos. It is the reason that everything happens. And the law of cause and effect simply says this, that for every effect in our lives, there is a specific cause. That if we do not like the effects that we are enjoying in our life, it is up to us to identify the causes and change the causes. That irrespective of whether or not we know what the causes are, there is a reason for everything that happens. There is, in fact, no such thing as an accident. Everything that happens in our life happens by law and not by chance. And that it is our primary duty to understand the laws that control our destinies, and by understanding the laws, we can control the causes and change the effects to anything that we want. You will recognize immediately that the law of cause and effect is completely consistent with the law of control. Because if we can identify the causes, we can control the effects and therefore control what happens to us in our lives. And people who live happy, fully functioning, harmonious lives are people who live by the law of control and understand the law of cause and effect in their lives. Under the law of cause and effect, there is one major application which we will return to again several times, and that is simply this. It is that thoughts are causes and conditions are effects. That our thoughts are always the primary causes of the conditions or effects in our lives. That we control our lives by our thoughts, that everything that we are today is the sum total result of all the thinking that we have done to this moment. That if we wish our lives to be different in the future, we have to change our thinking in the present, and by so doing, we change the direction of our lives. Going on, there are three mental laws which I'd like to introduce now, in addition to the law of control and the law of cause and effect. And the first of these three mental laws is what we call the law of belief. The law of belief simply says that whatever you believe with feeling becomes your reality. That you are the sum total result of all of your belief systems to this moment. And that your beliefs form a screen of logic or a screen of prejudices through which you see the entire world. That you never allow in any information that is inconsistent with your beliefs. And that even if you have beliefs that are totally inconsistent with reality, to the degree to which you believe these things to be true, they become true for you. The law of belief is referred to in every book of religion, in the Talmud, in the Torah, in the Koran, in the Bible. In the Bible it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, or as a man believeth in his heart, so is he. Or, according to your faith, it is done unto you. In other words, according to how deeply you believe it, it is done unto you. The law of belief is so powerful in our lives that even if we hold beliefs that are based on totally false information, they have an impact on what happens to us and an impact on our effects. I'll give you a very good example. A couple of years ago, a young man from a small Midwestern school got straight A's straight through high school and then wrote the college entrance exams, what are called the SAT test, or the Scholastic Aptitude Test, for entrance into the state university. He got his exam results back and a letter from the university a few weeks later that said that he had scored 98 on the SAT test and was being admitted into the university. Now, the young man did not know what a SAT score was. And when he got a 98 on the SAT score, he was convinced that it meant that he had a 98 IQ. Now, a 98 IQ is a below average IQ and is about 20 points less than is necessary for college entry work. He went off to school, and in the entire first semester of college work, he got straight D's. He either failed or almost failed in every single class that he was in. At the end of the first semester, his counselor called him in and asked him, what is the problem? You got straight A's in high school. The coursework that you're doing here is only a year advanced from your high school work. Why is it you're having such difficulty with these courses? He said, well, sir, you can't really blame me because, you know, I only have a 98 IQ. And the counselor, who had his file in front of him, said, where did you get this idea? He said, well, I got it in my entry letter to the university. It said that I'd been accepted and that I got 98 on the SAT test. He said, young man, he said, a 98 on a SAT test is not an IQ rating. It is a percentile rating. And the young man didn't understand what a percentile was, and the counselor explained that a 98 meant that he had scored equal to or better than 98% of all the students writing entry exams to colleges and universities in North America that year. That he was one of the brightest students in the university, if not one of the brightest students in the entire country. When the young man understood clearly that it was not a 98 IQ, but it was a 98 percentile, he turned around, he went back to his classes, and in the next semester he got straight A's. This was reported in Psychology Today and is consistent with hundreds of different experiences that people have had. The most important single application of the law of belief is this, is that if we have self-limiting beliefs, irrespective of whether or not they are based on reality, to the degree to which we believe them, they become true for us. And most of the beliefs that we have that limit or impair our effectiveness, the self-limiting beliefs are not based on reality at all. They are based on information that we have taken in from a variety of sources, often starting in early childhood, but to the degree to which we accept those ideas as true, they become true for us, and we live in a manner consistent with them. As a matter of fact, our mind works in such a way that it edits out or refuses to allow in any evidence that is contrary to what we have decided to believe. So if we have positive experiences that indicate that we have competence or ability in a particular area where we have believed or decided that we have no competence or ability, we will mentally screen it out. We will engage in a process of what is called selective perception. We will not see the examples that indicate that we are competent. We will only see the examples that indicate that we are lesser in our abilities in those areas.